Fast. I want to check with our guest here, Mr. Charlie. How are you doing? Charlie Hopper from Pasty.net. Charlie, you've been listening to this conversation, I know, as you've been waiting to go on the air with us. What was it like for you getting on in 1998? Because that was about when you got on the internet as well, wasn't it?
Well, just about. And happy anniversary, by the way.
Hey, Charlie.
I have to back up, though. Gary just said he had 10 gigabytes. It was 10 megabytes back then is what he had.
You know, you're absolutely right. I was just thinking, you're right. It was 10 megabits.
I'm sorry. Yeah, 10 megabit line.
And T1 was what? 1.54. So I was right.
1.5. Yeah. In fact, the first T1 that we bought, 1.5 megabits, cost $5,000 a month.
Yeah. Oh, ouch.
Yeah, Richard Steenan had the same thing, and we happened to have our NOC right under the Merit NOC.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So we used a Ethernet patch cord to the NOC. And they were running at 10 megabytes. You're right, it was 10 megabytes.
You were a little closer, and it is 10 megabits, right?
You're right.
Well, Charlie Hopper's with us. Every year we bring Charlie around because we kind of went on the internet at the same time, didn't we, Charlie? About the same time, pretty much. You went with Pasty.net.
Well, actually, the Internet Advisor was on before Pasty.net was. Pasty.net didn't start until 1999.
Okay.
I mean, we were a web hosting service then, but as far as connectivity, 99. But our actual experience with the Internet, our first web pages were in 1995, which was about 6 months after the World Wide Web began in the fall of 94.
And it was just, I think it was just the week before that Paul W. Smith had you on, which was kind of the big, you know, that gave you a real burst of publicity and business, right?
And that's when we started our daily feature, the Pasty Cam. So we will celebrate at the end of this month, we'll celebrate 18 years of having the Pasty Cam, just like you've celebrated 18 years of the Internet Advisor.
Tell people what the Pasty Cam is, because it's fascinating. Oh, I tell you what, Charlie, hang on a second, because we're going to talk about much more about the Pasty Cam and a lot of these pioneering efforts that you made. This is, folks, way up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. For those of you who don't know Michigan, this is like another country away. It's about 13 hours from the border with Ohio, so it's a long ways away. But Charlie is with us. He was one of those pioneers out there on the internet as well. We're going to continue talking with him about Pasty.net and recalling 18 years ago when he began as well. Right now, however, we're talking with a fellow pioneer, and that is Mr. Charlie Hopper from Pasty.net, way in the Upper Peninsula. Charlie, in the year 1999, but he was already very much busy with using the internet in other ways. Before that, came aboard as well. And as a matter of fact, Gary had his famous hairdryer moment with Charlie.
That's right.
Up in Lorium. I believe that moment is one of those stunning moments.
It is hard to forget because it was the very first time that we did live audio feed. Live video feed. And I happen to be up in the UP because my wife's family has a cabin up there.
Right.
So Saturday, I got a hold of Charlie and went over and we went to, is it Springwell?
It was Stillwater.
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 I knew it was,
right.
Thank you. Stillwater.
That's right. The senior center.
Senior
which is no longer there.
Yeah.
And the only place you had the video was in the beauty shop there. And so we were sitting in the beauty shop chairs with these cone hair dryers.
The cones of silence.
Above our heads and wanted to pull it down.
We got that image, don't we? We'll have to post that image.
We should find it.
Yeah.
We'll dig for that image and post it.
If, I'll email you one if you don't.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Yes,
if you would, please, Charlie.
He kept the evidence.
I conveniently can't find it.
Now, Charlie, you started out, you know, and when you started out with Pasty Cam, tell us what that was when you started out with it and why you started with that.
I'm looking at it now.
It really had its birth there in the same way that Paul W. Smith up here with the Winter Carnival coverage. We were covering the Winter Carnival from the beginning. That was the first pictures that we had. Well, the very first was the big snow thermometer up on U.S. 41.
Oh, yeah, heading up towards Copper Harbor. Yeah.
And, you know, when we put that on, I did a lookup at that time, and there were 6 million pages on the internet at that point in time.
Oh, my word. What year would that have been? Well, that would have been...
That was in 95. It was about 6 months after the internet had... the World Wide Web started, you know, in fall of 94.
Wow.
So and then after that, we had pictures of the snow statues. That was the real thing, all these sculptures and things.
Oh, yes.
At Michigan Tech University.
Right, MTU, right. Oh, yeah.
So then when Paul W. Smith came in coverage, we met during that time, and that's what really kicked things off, because it was during that interview that the food editor of the Free Press heard us on the air, you know, driving down the road. She heard it in Detroit, and contacted us and did a photo article, and it got distributed all over. So we just started selling pasties, and I think we're up to like 870,000 pasties right now.
Wow. That you've sold through the years.
So, you know, it's interesting. I'm looking at your homepage, and you have a snowshoe hike up to Hungarian Falls.
Oh, yeah.
I've been there, and you have to know how to get to the Hungarian Falls, because there are no signs, right? There's still no signs?
There may be some now, because there's a number of things happening here with it. We're in a national park. The Keweenaw is a historical national park.
Oh.
And a lot of these sites have been having new signs put up and new markers, and it's there's just a lot happening up here.
Oh, it's interesting, because the centennial of the national parks is coming up.
And I remember talking, the only way you could find it is, I remember talking to somebody that had lived there for a long time, and I said, I've always heard about this, where is it? And they said, well, you got to go up here, take a right, take a left, take a right, get out of your car, hike over here, hike over there, finally get to it, go down this hill. And it was just so funny, because there were no signs then.
Yeah, Kelly,
I got to tell you. Well worth going, right?
It absolutely was. Right. Beautiful, yeah. Beautiful.
I got to tell you, Charlie, I was really, really disappointed with the pasty cam when I first looked at it, because I thought I was going to see a beautiful, warm, steaming hot pasty sitting there, or maybe some hands putting one together with some nice turnips and chunks of beef and onion in it. That's what I thought a pasty cam should be.
Well, you know what? You've just described what probably a half a dozen days have been on the pasty cam. This is a picture every day. It started back in 1998. We started having a shot every day, a glimpse of life from the UP. And sometimes that glimpse of life is a pasty, and other times it's Hungarian Falls or the freighters on the lake. Or
the bridge going up and down at Horton Hancock.
Yeah. Okay, right. Well, I'll just have to keep
Royal
looking
Queen.
And be hungry and wait until I see that one that I've been dying to see.
Charlie, one of the things that has always fascinated me about the work that you've done up there, you now have become a provider of the Internet, an ISP, provider of Internet connections up there. And you really, you know, for being as, if you will, out of the way and as far away from civilization that many of us would consider, you are really on the cutting edge of technology up there. What kind of technology are you using now to keep people in touch with really high-speed connections?
Well, you speak about cutting edge. The most recent thing, the FCC just a couple of months ago approved the use of TV white space.
Oh, yes.
And we now have, it's all in beta still, that we're delivering higher speeds with TV white space. We actually have some links, wireless links, that we're able to get 300 megabits over the air. And it's just amazing the way that the technology has changed. And we've just been able to sort of stay up with it. My son, who's a graduate of Michigan Tech, he's the administrator, Jonathan Hopper. And we have some very talented staff people, some who do tower climbing. And so we're on a number of towers around in the UP. And it just continues to expand and grow. We also have WiMAX, and we're moving toward LTE. That's what we'd really like to see.
Uh-huh.
I did some tests this morning with an LTE signal. I got 27 megabits right on my smartphone, and that's pretty. That may not be impressive down where you guys are, but up here, that's
it's still pretty impressive here.
So, Charlie, for the layman, tell us a little bit more what TV white space is and how that works with the internet.
Well, it's the part of the spectrum that, especially in remote areas like ours, there aren't that many TV stations.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's plenty of spectrum available that can be encoded. It's actually WiMAX encoding that it's coordinated with the FCC database, making sure that there's no interference with TV stations. You can actually have good, fast delivery to non-line-of-sight places.
No, that's so important, non-line-of-sight. Go ahead, Dad.
So is this the same space that we gave up, the channel 2 through 13? Because we all went to the different high-def, to the digital broadcast?
I believe it's actually, I don't know that much about it technically. My son would know the answers, but I think it's above channel 13. I believe that's...
Okay.
That's where it is, but...
I'm fascinated with something you mentioned, though. Excuse me, Harvey, sorry for jumping in here, but as a layperson, you're saying that it's non-line of sight, because my understanding in a lot of other areas is that it has to be delivered by microwave. For instance, my daughter and son-in-law have a cabin near Gladwin, and the only way that they can get really good high-speed delivered to them is by microwave.
Yeah, but the reason why it's non-line of sight, and I mean, that's why the television stations and radio stations use those lower frequencies, is because they penetrate and bounce all over the place. You can go through cement walls with those, where cell signals do not.
The very first one of these that I mounted, I climbed a tower and was looking up over the... Actually, I could see all the way out to Isle Royale where I was at.
Wow.
On putting up this antenna. And the first test that we did there, we're through many miles of dirt. I mean, it was very much non-line of sight, and I was just very impressed by it. This was back in the summer, of course. Right now, it's about 1 degree here.
It's not very far off of that down here, by the way.
See, I got all excited. I thought, oh, great, this is terrific. If they're using the old TV channels, I'll put an Ethernet jack on the back of my television and plug that old black and white back in.
So we wish.
Oh, Charlie. The very best to you as you are celebrating your 18th anniversary up there very soon. Charlie Hopper, our guest from Pasty.net. Go online. We'll put links up on our website as well for Pasty.net and for the PastyCam. The very best to you as you continue serving people up there in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Thanks, guys. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you.
Thank you so much.